So a few years ago, Kelton Research surveyed Americans on what they knew better, the Ten Commandments or the ingredients to the Big Mac. <laughs> 80% of Americans remembered the two all-beef patties. 75% of Americans remembered the sesame seed bun. But less than 60% remembered thou shalt not kill is one of the Ten Commandments. 66% knew that the Big Mac has special sauce. 62% remembered the pickle. But only 45% remembered that honor your mother and father was on God's top 10 list. 25% of Americans correctly identified all the ingredients of the Big Mac. Only 14% of Americans could remember all 10 of God's 10 commandments. Kelton Research also quizzed Americans on the names of the characters from the 60s TV show The Brady Bunch. Most people remembered Cindy and Greg and Marsha. But poor Bobby and poor Peter, only 43% could remember their names. But that was still a much higher percentage than the Americans who could identify such commandments as remember the Sabbath, 34%, or do not make false idols, 29%. I worry that Americans know our burgers, that Americans know our Bradys better than we know our Bibles. God gave us 10 fingers. God gave us 10 commandments. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. I think God made it real simple for us. One commandment for each finger that we have. Still, we have a hard time remembering the Ten Commandments. We have an even harder time obeying the Ten Commandments. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 right now to hear the top 10 ways that God instructs us to love Him and to love our neighbors. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything on heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. God's word. So there is this lawyer, and he once gave Jesus an impossible question. He asked Jesus, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Now, every rabbi had an opinion about which of these Ten Commandments was the most important of them. Some of the rabbis said, the law is about our relationship with God. That's what's really important. Other rabbis took a different point of view. Oh, no. The law is about loving your neighbor. That's what the law is really about. It was dangerous to answer this question in public because someone was going to think that your answer is off base, no matter what answer you gave. Jesus did not choose any of the Ten Commandments. Jesus instead quoted Deuteronomy 6:5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." But then Jesus, he refused to play the lawyer's game, right? He wasn't going to give him just one answer. This is a BOGO question. He threw one in absolutely free. A second commandment, really kind of an obscure passage from Leviticus 19:18. It's sort of the tail of another commandment. And it's this, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments, it says in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Now, if you have a hard time remembering all Ten Commandments, Jesus makes it really easy for us, doesn't he? He summarizes the whole law into two commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. Can we remember these two? I think we can. You got two hands, right? Love God, love your neighbor. And if you think about it, the Ten Commandments are sort of summarized by these two rules. The first four commandments, that's about loving God. The second six commandments are about loving your neighbor as you love yourself. It's a nice, tidy way of organizing the Ten Commandments so that we can remember them, but also that we remember the whole point of why these commandments were given in the first place. These are not just general rules. They point us towards the love of God. They point us towards the love of neighbor. And no one could argue with Jesus when he gave such a simple, easily understandable, non-debatable answer to what's most important. We'll use that as sort of the framework for understanding the Ten Commandments today. Now, first point is that we need to love the Lord your God. I'm going to go through all Ten Commandments. I'm going to have to go quick. Sorry. That's a lot of commandments. I don't usually preach 10-point sermons. You're going to have to forgive me, but the text sort of demands it this morning. Okay, first, God declares, "You shall have no other gods before me." Just like any healthy marriage, God expects an exclusive relationship. Perhaps this is obvious. After all, there is only one God, right? That's true. However, human beings have a funny way of turning just about anything into a god. The ancient Hebrews, they worshipped money, and they called it Baal. Okay? The Hebrews worshipped sex, and they called it Asherah. The Hebrews worshipped power, and they called it Molech, the demonic, evil god. The first commandment teaches us that if we love anything, more than we love God, that's our true God. And we'll start acting in a debased way because of it. Second, God declares, "You shall not make idols." Now, I want to be clear about this. This is not a rule against visual art, all visual art. What it is, it's about establishing who is the potter and who is the clay. Okay? Humans are constantly tempted to fashion God in their own image. Okay? In the olden days, they would do this out of wood, they would do it out of silver, they would do it out of clay, whatever they could get their hands on. They would shape God in their own images. We don't do this so much today with clay. These days, it's more common to take Christianity, to mix in a sprinkle of Buddhism, a dash of Kabbalah, a whole pound of secular humanism, so that we end up with the Jesus who looks just like us, instead of learning to become just like Jesus. The second commandment asserts, God is the creator who molds you, who shapes you into his image. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The third commandment is about taking care of God's name. Now, some people, some of our Jewish friends, some of our Catholic friends even, they won't say Yahweh, the name of God that we find in the book of Exodus, because they're afraid of misusing the Lord's name, taking God's name in vain. I really respect that devotion. I don't think that that's the best way. I think this is really a commandment about ruining God's reputation, okay? It's really about hurting God's reputation. It's not just our words, it's also our actions that can take the Lord's name in vain. The point of this is, whatever you say, whatever you do, reflects upon God. Now, I've seen people with Christian bumper stickers on their cars flipping the bird in traffic. Please don't do that if you have a Christian bumper sticker. Thanks. I've seen people with lovely gold crosses in Starbucks being really rude to their baristas. If you're going to wear that cross, please don't do this. That's also taking the Lord's name in vain. By all means, watch your mouth. Protect the name of God. But we don't do that with just our words. We do it with our actions as well. The fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God just liberated the Hebrews from 430 years of slavery in Egypt. He did not want these people now to become slaves to their jobs, okay? The point is that God wants us to pause and to rest and to remember that we're not the ones that make the world spin around. God created the world in how many days? Not seven, 6 days. And then he took the day off. If God can take the day off, you can too. Now, I know some of you are thinking, hold on now. Hold on now. Cows need to be milked every day. That's true. Anyone ever have a baby? They expect their diapers to be changed every day, don't they? I am so grateful that the emergency room is open on the Sabbath. That makes me happy to know that there's a place to bring my child in a time of need. Remember, Jesus said the Sabbath was made for humans. Humans were not made for the Sabbath. The point is, stop thinking you make the world go round by your work. Pause. Rest. Worship God. And remember, you are the creation. You are not the creator. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the fifth commandment begins the rules about loving our neighbors. And the first of these, oh, by the way, if you've got a teenager, you're going to like this. Anyone have a teenager out there? Or even teenage grandchildren? Oh, you're going to like this. It says it right there. Fifth commandment. First one. Honor your father and mother. Amen! Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
However, this commandment, it's not just for teenagers. You know what this commandment's really about? It's about the parents of teenagers. This is about taking care of the elderly. This is taking care of the vulnerable population that you carry with us. The Apostle Paul says that this is the first commandment with the promise. And the promise is this, that when you take care of your aged mom and dad, God promises you may live long in the land the Lord is giving you. It's about taking care of a vulnerable population. Now, in the Near East, just about every culture believed it was important to honor your father. The Bible's really an interesting ancient document. It reminds us, it's not just about taking care of dad. Take care of mom as well. The sixth commandment is, you shall not murder. The key Hebrew word here is rasah, which is really hard to translate into English. Murder is too specific. Kill, it's too general. Warfare does not apply to the word rasah, okay? When we see this word, what it really is, it's any act of violence, even if it doesn't end a life, any act of violence out of hatred, anger, malice, deceit, or for personal gain. The underlying moral principle of the sixth commandment is that life belongs to God. Be very, very careful. Now, Jesus had a very strict interpretation of the sixth commandment. By the way, if you think that Jesus made the law easier, you're not really paying attention to the Bible. Jesus has a very strict interpretation of the sixth commandment. Jesus said, you have heard it said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. He's quoting the Ten Commandments. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Jesus had such a high view of human life that he equates anger, that he equates calling your neighbor a fool with rasah, killing, murder. The point of the sixth commandment is we take care of our neighbors. You shall not commit adultery is the seventh commandment. Americans tend to think of sex as an entirely private matter. The prevailing sexual ethic of America today is if it's between two consenting adults and it's behind closed doors and no one gets hurt, then it's nobody's business. That's not God's opinion about sex. If you read the Bible, it has a very high view of human sexuality. It's really positive about sex. But God gives specific boundaries around sex to keep it positive, because this can go so wrong so quickly. Jesus also had a strict commandment or interpretation of the seventh commandment. Jesus said, you have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Who has two hands here this morning? Anyone have two hands this morning? Wave at me if you have two hands this morning. Okay. Anyone have two eyes here this morning? Blink at me if you have two eyes at me. Okay, we got two eyes, we got two hands? Great. Because Jesus said, it's better to gouge out your eye or to cut off your hand than to become a slave to lust. Can we acknowledge that Jesus is using hyperbole here? He doesn't literally want you to cut off your hand. He doesn't want you to literally cut out your eye. He's just saying that when you become a slave to lust, the consequences are far bigger than losing a hand. It's far bigger than losing an eye. You can destroy your whole life by indulging yourself in these matters. The eighth commandment is, you shall not steal. God told the Hebrews to protect each other's possessions because societies collapse when we don't respect property rights. But Jesus, he cared more about people than he cared about property. Jesus suggested giving away your property to the poor. Jesus said, if someone steals your shirt, what do? You give them your coat as well. Jesus said, don't worry about your life, about what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, about what you'll wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Jesus' response to the sin of stealing in this world is to prioritize people and to store up treasures in heaven instead of your treasures here on earth. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor is the ninth commandment. God wants people to speak the truth about each other in court and out of court. I'm supposed to be doing jury duty next week. I've never done that before. I'm kind of curious how that's going to go. Speak the truth in court. But this is about gossip too. This is about what you say about people behind their backs. See, the Christians, we're supposed to talk to each other, not about each other. Take care of each other's reputations, not besmirch each other's reputations when they're not around to defend themselves. That's also part of the ninth commandment. The final commandment is, you shall not covet. Oh, this is the toughest one. You know, the American economy is based on coveting. Turn on the football game today and you're going to get all these commercials trying to persuade you that you need something. You deserve a what today? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Really? You love that? It's working, though, because we know the ingredients of the Big Mac better than we know the Ten Commandments. Coveting, it's the basis of the American economy. Your kids know how to dress. Why? Because they look at the clothes of the kids around them. I am not likely to ever own a Corvette Stingray. But when one zips past me on the freeway, you better believe I notice it, that I pause and I admire it. Not because I want it, mind you. Just because it's a thing of beauty. Oh, this is the toughest one. And it brings us right back to the beginning. It reminds us that just about anything can become an idol, that we human beings are willing to sell ourselves into slavery for a car, for some clothes, for a Big Mac. We will sell ourselves cheap. And that's what we do. Every time we love something more than we love God or we love our neighbors. Anytime we love something more than God, anytime we love something more than our neighbors, we are missing the whole point of these Ten Commandments. You see, the bad news is that only Jesus has ever accomplished the Ten Commandments. But the good news is that Jesus fulfilled these laws for you. We are saved by grace alone. But once we get a taste of that grace, we should be looking for new ways to love God and to love our neighbor. Hey, Jesus just took the Ten Commandments and he made it a lot harder because they're no longer rules that we can accomplish, that we could ever fulfill. It is this constant realization of, oh, I have to love God above all things. I have to love my neighbor above all things. If you believe in Jesus, it means you have given a blank check to Jesus. All my loving. It's never ending. And this is part of salvation. Jesus saves us from our slavery to sin and selfishness by saying, love your God. Love your neighbor. The whole law is summed up in those two rules. Amen.